Back here on 3D, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. Derek Mason, D-Mace will be back in the saddle with us tomorrow. We'll have SEC basketball media days in our town for the next couple of days at our beautiful downtown Omni Hotel. It'll be on men's side tomorrow, women on Thursday. We're looking forward to covering that along with everything else that is going on in the sports world. We always love catching up with our next guest, Heather Denich, ESPN college football playoff analyst, is on the line with us. Heather, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, well, our blood pressure is much better than some of the coaches last weekend, starting on Friday night. It was upset city in college football over the weekend, and it all started on Friday night with two gigantic upsets, and it just carried right into the weekend. In your mind, what was the biggest upset?
Well, I think the whole Pac-12. That was the biggest storyline in my mind. Washington and Washington State both going down put a severe dagger in the Pac-12's college football playoff hopes. You know, and looking at that league now, it's the only Power 5 conference without an undefeated team in it right now. And I think if you look at the North, Washington, Washington State, on the outside looking in, USC is heading into an elimination game against one-loss Notre Dame. So that, to me, was the biggest takeaway from the first weekend, from last weekend, rather.
They're in big danger of getting completely shut out, aren't they?
They are. But the thing is at this point, you can't eliminate any one-loss team that still has a shot at winning its conference, because the norm is having losses. That's normal. Going undefeated is not normal. The question is, once you get that loss and you win your conference, how does your, quote, whole body of work stack up against those four other Power 5 conference champions? And that's why Washington and Washington State are in such a dire position right now, because of those non-conference schedules. Between the two of those teams, between the two of them, they've combined for one win against a Power 5 non-conference opponent, and that's Rutgers.
I'm good. We all get hiccups, Heather, and we all have our method of getting past hiccups, right? Drinking water, holding our breath. I mean, there's all kinds of methods.
I'm a holding the breath guy.
Holding your
That's
breath?
What I do. Yeah.
Some people say, you know, scare them, you know, boo! Scare, a quick sudden scare will get rid of your hiccups. Who had a hiccup here in the last couple of weeks, especially this past weekend, but can recover from their hiccup and still be there in the end? What would be your answer to that?
I think Clemson has the most realistic shot at it. They've got a blueprint. They've done it before. They lost last year to Pitt. They went on to win the whole darn thing. And the reality of the situation is that they need Syracuse to lose again in order to get back in the Atlantic Division race, and that's probably going to happen. So I think they have the most realistic shot in terms of one-loss teams, because they have a win against Auburn. Now, folks say, well, Auburn lost, so doesn't that take away a little bit from their win? Sure, it does. But Clemson's win against Auburn and Alabama's win against Florida State is still so much better than anything Penn State, Ohio State, Washington State has done in their non-conference schedule.
Okay, I'm going to give you a couple one-loss teams that really, when you get to getting down to the discussion, they're not really mentioned. But they only have one loss, and I want you to tell me which one you believe should be more in the discussion. Is it NC State with their one loss? Boy, would they like to have that South Carolina game back. Is it Virginia Tech? Is it Notre Dame? Is it, let's throw USC in there. Which one do you like? Who should we talk about more of the one loss teams, the ones I just mentioned?
I think USC, because they're heading into an elimination game against Notre Dame. But you mentioned NC State, and they've got back-to-back huge opportunities. They have to win at Notre Dame, and then they play Clemson. So all of those teams that you mentioned still have so many opportunities to impress the selection committee. We're right now 2 weeks to the day from the first ranking coming out on October 31st. So Clemson, NC State, Notre Dame has the seventh toughest remaining schedule, according to ESPN's FPI. Mm. It's a double-edged sword, because they can either play their way right into that top four, or they might lose on Saturday and be knocked right out of it.
Okay. Give me one or two teams that you think that are still in the discussion as we sit here today, that in the end, because of some of this stuff, like you said, the remaining schedule and how it's going to play out in your mind, they will no longer be in the discussion. Who maybe are a couple teams that come to mind, in your opinion?
I think Oklahoma is still getting a lot of love, and it should after its win against Texas in spite of that win loss to Iowa State. But I believe that Oklahoma State is a better team than Oklahoma, not getting credit for it.
Okay.
So it wouldn't surprise me to see Oklahoma State get another shot at TCU in the Big 12 championship game, and all of a sudden we're talking about the Cowboys again and Mike Gundy's team. That might be the one off the top of my head. And look, Penn State, we don't know diddly about the Big Ten right now. We'll find out a lot more over the next 2 weeks. Penn State plays Michigan this weekend and then hits the road, goes to Ohio State. And if Penn State wins those two games, I think that they're in the top four. They deserve to be in the top four. If they lose one of those games, and ESPN's FPI projects that the only game they lose on the rest of their schedule is to Ohio State, it's very possible Penn State has a better season this year than it did last year and still doesn't get in the top four because it won't win the East.
Oof.
Heather Dinich is with us from ESPN. We're looking at the projections, though it is early, but there's a lot of interesting storylines. And let me ask you another one out of the Big Ten, Heather, and that's Wisconsin. We were looking at it, the weak side of the division, the Big Ten. Their schedule, non-conference, is not impressive, and really they don't have to play all the big dogs in the league in the regular season. So what about their pathway, and are they a team that probably has to go undefeated to get into the discussion?
Yes, I believe they have to go undefeated, and the committee hasn't yet been faced with a true test like Wisconsin. It could have happened but didn't with Baylor in the first season in 2014. If they would have been undefeated, I think we'd be having the same conversation. Iowa, 2015, same thing. When you look at Wisconsin, if they run the table and win the Big Ten, I think it would be hard for the committee to keep them out. But at the same time, it wouldn't surprise me if they did, if there are other conference champions out there with stronger resumes. Because if you look at Wisconsin, what they've done right now, they have not beaten anyone with a record above 500. Not one non-conference win against a Power 5 team. And their opponents, as we sit here today, are a combined 16-23. So it's not good.
It's not good.
No.
So, Heather, another thing I want to ask you about, because you follow this closer than we do, but every year the committee itself goes through a couple little changes. People rotate on, rotate off. Have you noticed anything different, or is this something that maybe we'll find out in the coming weeks? When you have different eyeballs in there, different opinions, do you notice something different in the way they're going to evaluate teams?
Well, that's yet to be seen. Yes, you do, because it's all individual and it's all subjective. And so on the committee this year, the three new faces will be Ohio State's athletic director, Gene Smith, the president of Robert Morris University, Chris Howard. He played football at Air Force. He's so smart. It's unbelievable. I sat down with him at his office in Pittsburgh this spring, and I'm like, I can't hang with you, man. I'm just a sports writer. He's a Rhodes Scholar. And then also Frank Beamer. Everybody knows Frank Beamer, the former Virginia Tech coach. So when you look at those people, they'll all bring different aspects to it. Gene Smith at Ohio State will be able to say, look, I know how hard it is to go on the road and win at Iowa when talking about Penn State. And Frank Beamer, you know, he loves special teams and defense. So I'm sure he will bring some of that to the discussion. It's all so subjective. So, yes, the different personalities, I'm sure, will bring a different vibe. And you never know if those three guys were on it a year ago, maybe Penn State would have gotten in. I don't know. It's impossible to answer. But, yes, it's a different mix.
It's way too early to ask this question. But, of course, we're sports talk show people, so we will ask it. I mean, remember, everybody was all excited.
It's never too early, Willie.
With the Ole Miss, Mississippi State were on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Remember, they were 1-2, and everybody's all excited. And then by the time it really was crunch time, they were both way off the radar because there's a lot of football left. But I think it's intriguing because it does look like today that Alabama and Georgia are a step ahead of everybody else. Georgia's got the win at Notre Dame, and Alabama's Alabama. If they were to face each other in the SEC championship game, That would be an intriguing one. If it's a good game, that would be a really great scenario for the SEC to have two teams that would certainly have credentials of being in the Final Four.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. And it wouldn't surprise me if those two teams finished in the committee's top four. If it's an instant classic and Georgia takes Alabama down to the wire and there's just it's really hard for them to leave them out. But the thing is it depends, again, on what happens in the other Power 5 conferences. Is Georgia then going up against a Pac-12 champ in Washington or Washington State? Then it probably does make sense to put them in, right? Because they beat Notre Dame, and what did the Pac-12 champ do? Ohio State, they lost their only non-conference game that mattered. So when you start comparing resumes like that, that's what you have to look at. But I do think that they're, as we sit, think that Alabama and Georgia could both get in there.
So do they have to be, Heather, let's see, the scenarios would be both undefeated and one of them loses, or the one with the one loss in the SEC championship game beats the other one that was undefeated? In other words, does the scenario have to be that neither one can have two losses, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think both of them need to be undefeated going into that game to have a realistic shot at it. I mean, and look, we can't not talk about Auburn still, even though they have two losses, because what if Auburn runs the table and beats Georgia and Alabama?
Oh, boy.
And rude to it, you know? And I think the key is, guys, is that when you look at what happened last year and Ohio State got in and Penn State didn't, the committee said, you know what? Even if you won head-to-head and even if you didn't even win your division, we still think you're a better team. Well, that can apply to Georgia.
Yeah.
Or it can apply to a one-loss Alabama that only lost to Auburn.
Yeah, good point. All right, last thing. Penn State head coach James Franklin, who we got to know very well when he was here at Vanderbilt, said he agrees with Urban Meyer that they should not play more than two night road games. He says it's just brutal for their players and for their coaches. Well, this just in for James Franklin. They get those big contracts because of TV money. Heather, like network that you work for. And, you know, guess what? It's all about prime time these days. It's all about playing at night. I got bad news for him if he thinks these games are getting moved to during the day.
So I didn't see that he said that, but what went right through my head when he said that was toughen up, Buttercup. It's good for everybody.
Exactly. I mean, come on. He knows better than
but
that.
But is anybody surprised that he said that? He's always got something
like
that. Like
I said, we cover James Franklin, yeah. So we know. But come on, you know. This is what you're not going to put these primetime games. This is where it's going today. It's all about putting it, you know, at night. That's where the big games are now, other than the 2:30 game our time in the middle of the afternoon on CBS. Other than that, everything's at night, and it's all primetime stuff.
It's great exposure for them, and it's good for recruiting, and it's a win-win for everybody.
No doubt. Heather, always good to catch up with you. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you down the road.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right, that's Heather Denich from ESPN. She is their college football playoff analyst, and it is getting interesting because now we can start really having these discussions of how is this going to play out?
Still a lot
for some of these teams.
Left.
All right, let's get into real quick before we get out of this segment. The scenario of Alabama and Georgia both getting in. Two teams from the same conference, which you know a lot of people cringe at. But if they're worthy, then why shouldn't they be in there? So what in your mind does the scenario have to be? Can a two-loss team get in anymore in the college playoff?
I think it would be tough for a two-loss team to get in as the second-place team in their league. I think if it's a two-loss team and it's a brutal schedule, then there's a shot. And Heather mentioned something that's, I think, going to be the key is Auburn. They play each of them play Auburn in the regular season. And so how good is Auburn? Can Auburn bounce back?
If they were to beat both of them, how much would they kick themselves over this LSU game this past weekend? If they were to find a way, and I don't believe they can, I don't believe that maybe they do, beat Georgia and Alabama. I mean, one, sure. Both, highly unlikely in my opinion, but if they did, man, would they kick themselves over this this past weekend where they just gagged that win away in Baton Rouge.
And this is another one. The consensus is that Auburn is the next best team, right? It's Georgia, Alabama,
yeah,
above
everybody
else.
Thinks
and then the
they're
next
third.
Best team is Auburn. But if Auburn loses both to Georgia and Alabama, they're a four-loss team, even though they've lost to four good teams. This is all in theory. So how good would that win look? But I do think that's the best scenario of both Georgia and Alabama getting in, is both of them run the table, they have impressive wins, and then one beats the other in the championship game, and you're sitting there going, how can we keep the other team out? Especially if they look even on in that championship game, which is, you know, you never know.
But she's right about one thing. We're going to find out more about the Big Ten in the coming weeks. Because
the
all
Big Ten
these
is going to sort itself
all
out.
All these big games
but
are
what's
going
to happen,
out.
Though, but what is likely to happen is that Wisconsin might get there in that championship game with no more than one loss, and you're thinking,
and they've played nobody.
It's a weak schedule.
Played nobody. We'll come back. You'll hear our discussion with Sean McDonough. It's really good. If you didn't hear it yesterday, some really good insights to his profession, what he's done, kind of his journey to this point, being in the booth. I mean, he's called so many big games. You'll hear that next on 3D, ESPN 102.5 The Game.